New York, the Rangers, the Islanders, and the Jets. So we go all in on the Empire State, talking about the changes in Manhattan. John Davidson, in the midst of a thunderstorm, talks to me about the split. How about that for a metaphoric reference? And his immediate return to Columbus, and he talks to me all about the challenges that are ahead for that organization. Doesn't skirt things. I love talking to JD. And with the Islanders in the Stanley Cup semifinals, football's New York Jets are on the bandwagon. This is awesome today. Dan Feeney, he's a beer-chugging, can-crushing O-lineman, and his teammate Greg Van Roten stopped by. They are two cool dudes, and they love their hockey. It's a busy one today on The Chirp with Darren Millard.
Heads up! Oh, how'd that feel, old man?
Boys, I'm Mike today. Just let everyone know, don't say anything stupid.
That's a disgrace!
Sensitive over there.
We are rolling through the Stanley Cup playoffs on The Chirp with Darren Millard. Final four. How about it? Vegas and Montreal? Contradictions? Yeah. The show that Vegas puts on? What an environment at T-Mobile Arena, and then the tradition of Montreal. But there's a lot of similarities in this series, and we'll expand on that a little bit as we go along. And then there's the Islanders against Tampa Bay. They meet for the second straight year in the Final Four, last year in the Eastern Conference Championship Series, this year in the Stanley Cup semifinals. Played a great six-game series. We'll chat about that series in particular, and the New York Islanders specifically, on this episode of The Chirp with Darren Millard. Those teams outside of the semifinals, trying to get things in order. The Rangers hired Gerard Glant. I love that hiring. He gets a four-year deal fresh off his world championship win, takes over from David Quinn. John Davidson is part of the sweeping changes by the New York Rangers. Team president in New York, he's out but has landed back in Columbus as team president, and he looks and he sounds great. I'm telling you right now. And you can see and hear for yourself. You don't want to miss this one. It's honest. It's insightful hockey talk. And JD is coming up, one of my favorite people to ever get a chance to talk to. Every now and then, I'll just send him a note and see what's going on with JD, because he's always got his finger on the pulse. And he's worked for a couple of different organizations. And I love his comment during this interview where he talks about he was a player. And so he looks at the game through a player's eyes, even at this stage and position of his career. But out of the gate today, we're going to talk about the Islanders trying to get back to the Stanley Cup final for the first time since 1984. And they're getting some great support from Greg Van Roten, who's a New York football Jet, O-lineman, who arranged for an outing, like a bonding moment for his O-line and his quarterback, Zach Wilson, to attend a game early in this postseason. And it went over so well, mainly because of a couple of videos and some actions by his teammates, that now it's become a thing. The Jets and the New York Islanders have a relationship, and those outings, that the numbers continue to grow. You'll hear from the guys as they talk about how this has just picked up steam and taken on a life of its own. So Greg goes to the games along with his teammate Dan Feeney. And Dan, if you don't know the name as a hockey fan of New York Jet football player, you will probably have seen Dan, because he has a mullet, he has a mustache, he drinks his beer, and he crushes those cans, and it's gone viral. Dan is a football player with a hockey soul. It's definitely the way I see it. The two NFL players join me today on The Chirp. They cram in front of a laptop from the New York Jets facility to talk hockey, talking about raising hell at Nassau Coliseum and raising a lot of money for charity. This is a great story as we catch up with Dan and Greg before game two of the Islanders and the Tampa Bay Lightning. Enjoy this one. It's a whole lot of fun. These guys are awesome. Dan and GVR. Can I call you GVR? Because that, I mean, I just heard that and that just flows, man.
Yeah, that's my nickname. You can call me that.
I like the hats, New York Islander buckets on top. You're the true blue Islander fan. Give me an idea of how you got into this thing.
Yeah, I grew up an Islanders fan, just being from Long Island, going to games when I was younger, loved going to the Coliseum, and fell in love with the Islanders and hockey. And it's just, you know, been a lifelong passion of mine to just root these guys on.
I'm going to get you guys to slide the microphone back and forth, and we'll work with it. We'll make it happen. Who is your favorite player? Who's your favorite player, and what era are we talking about? I'm trying to do the math in my head on your age as I look at you.
My current favorite player is Matt Martin, and I grew up, you know, in the Rick DiPietro, Michael Peck, like the earliest Islander players that I can remember.
Who do you know? Have you connected with any of them?
Not yet. Hopefully, you know, if we get a few more wins at the games we go to, they'll reach out. But I've just been a fan at this point.
Dan lights up there. He's like, a few more wins sounds like it's a guarantee here. The way they're going right now. Dan, how do you get into it? Are you a hockey fan, or did you sort of jump on board here with GVR?
No, I've been a hockey fan for a little while now. I'm from Chicago, so the Blackhawks are huge there. And my uncle's actually the one that kind of got me into it. And obviously when GVR said, hey, we're going to go to a playoff hockey game, I mean, I lit up and so did everybody else, because that atmosphere is absolute electricity. So,
do you tell Greg all about those Stanley Cups in Chicago? Is that what you do? Because it's been those banners up at NASA are a little dusty compared to what you've gone through in Chicago.
Yeah, I don't like to rub it in his face, but, you know, hey, hopefully the boys get one for out here, huh?
So, Greg, you brought this whole thing together. Tell me about the genesis about getting the boys to the hockey game.
I think a lot of things went into it. Number one, for me, like I said, I'm a fan of the Islanders. So any opportunity to get to go to a hockey game, I'm going to try and go, especially if it's the playoffs. And then you take everything that happened last year, the Islanders making that run into the Eastern Conference Finals, and, you know, not being able to go to a game, just having to watch on TV, that was miserable. So I'm so happy that they made it back to the semifinals again, and we can go. So, you know, we went to the first round against Pittsburgh, went to the second round against Boston, and now we're going to go to a third round game against Tampa Bay here in a couple of days.
Who's your ticket hookup, bud?
We got a great PR team here with the Jets. I feel like, because the first game we had about 15 people, and I thought that was a lot. And then, you know, people on the team saw how much fun we had. And then the second game, I said, hey, anybody else want to go? And we had about, you know, 25. And now we're going to go to a semifinals game here. And we're already close to 40 guys that want to go. So it's going to be, we might as well just take a bus from the Jets facility to the Coliseum at this point.
So people are jumping on board this bandwagon.
Yeah, it's a lot of guys' first experience with hockey. And it's a lot of guys' first experience with New York fandom, because of last year of empty stadiums and because of how young our team is. So I think guys are just, one, excited to be back watching live sports, and two, to get a taste of what the New York market is like.
Hey, pretty cool to do it at the Coliseum too, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's no place like the Barn. It's one of the smallest venues in hockey, and that place rocks, and it's so exciting. You know, I've been to the Madhouse on Madison, and that's pretty cool, but there's nothing like the Coliseum.
Dan, how would you describe hockey to the boys that are jumping on board and sort of signing up game by game here?
I feel like it's almost hard to describe, because they just kind of have to be there. You know, like the physicality of hockey is just incredible, and it feeds a team. You know, so when there's a big hit, there's people that have never been there, and they're like, wait, is that allowed? Is that okay?
A fight.
And then there's a fight that breaks out, and they're like, wait a second, these guys are just going at it, and the fans love it. Like, that amount of electricity, like, it's so hard to describe. Like, you just have to be in that environment and see it. And once people obviously have been there, I mean, we brought, like GBR said, 20 guys to the last time, and it was absolutely incredible. I mean, half the guys are like diehard hockey fans now, it feels like.
So do you feel like you have to do a little rules primer for some of the guys as new guys sign up for this thing?
I feel like every once in a while we gotta hit a couple rules on them. They're like, hey, why did that stop? Oh, it's an icing. And they're like, what the heck is that? And it's like, all right, we'll get into the X's and O's of it. But yeah.
Changing on the fly GVR must just send them for a loop.
People were shocked at how short their shifts were. They were like, wait, they're only out there for like 20 to 30 seconds. I was like, yeah, if you're out there for like a minute or a minute plus, like, that's a long shift. And then the game gets later, go into overtime, you're trying to get off the ice as fast as possible. And they were like, pretty like, wait, you can just like on the fly switch like that? I was like, yeah, man, this is like, you can go minutes without a stoppage in play. Like, it's wild sport. It's not super complicated. Like, there's not a ton of rules that you need to explain. It's basically just like, there's this many guys, you know, you can't do certain things, but there's a lot of subjectivity in what gets called and what doesn't, especially in the playoffs.
Do the defensive guys have to earn their stripes to be able to jump on board with your group?
No, we'll take it all comers at this point. The more the merrier. Anyone who wants to be a bandwagon fan, just jump right on.
Do you go through the whole experience? Like, do you arrive early and go through the tailgating and the whole nine yards?
Yeah, so I live on Long Island right now. And, you know, the games that we've gone to have been on the weekends. So we've been off and I've had guys, you know, come to the house first. And, you know, we'll start there. And then we have rides take us over to the Coliseum. And we'll, you know, continue the tailgate. And then we'll go inside. And the Islanders have been great to us. We've had access to, you know, the ownership hospitality area. So it's food and beverages. And it's been fun. They've taken great care of us. And we're so grateful that they have, you know, just been so gracious.
You guys may not get the reference, but I have this Reservoir Dogs picture in my mind of you guys walking through the parking lot at Nassau Coliseum and like the just parting of the sea. Dan, like what's it like rolling up to Nassau?
Oh man, it's awesome. It's electric. I mean, everybody knows Zach Wilson and stuff. So everybody's calling out for Zach and stuff. And I actually got a couple call outs and that was kind of weird. I've never had my name called out before. I'm like, oh, hey, it's kind of weird, but no, it's awesome. I mean, the fans there, they're electric. There's, it's an experience unlike anything else. Just walking up there and having so much energy, your blood's pumping. You just can't wait to the game to start.
Pretty cool to get Zach going to it as well, right?
Oh, yeah, 100%, man. He was you see the first game, he was a little skeptical. I think he needed a little bit of initiation. And then the second game, he's like, yeah, let's go, let's get it. And he's like all into it. And it's like, that's all it takes. It only takes one, and then you're freaking stuck for life.
It is. And it is something that you do truly have to see live, isn't it, GBR?
There's no sport like hockey live. I mean, you can watch it on TV and you're like, it's fast. You can appreciate the announcers. But when you get into a hockey venue, especially like the Coliseum, and you see how fast this game is, how physical it is, and how loud it gets, and it's just constant action. It's nonstop. It's physical. It's so fun. And that's why it's one of my favorite sports, to go to and to watch.
You know, there's no bond like an offensive line, and there just isn't in sports. And I like to think that this Islander team sort of has a similar thing. Like, it's a sum of the parts, Greg. Not superstars or anything like that. They are a true, every cog counts in that wheel.
Yeah, I think that's what makes this team so special is that, you know, they're missing arguably their best player right now, and they play so well in their system. They're so consistent. They have a lot of under the radar, I think, superstars that don't get a lot of national attention, and people are getting to appreciate, you know, what we've seen the last couple of years with, you know, Barry Trotz and Lou Lamoriello. And it's awesome. And I'm glad to be able to share this experience like with my teammates. And like you said, as an offensive lineman, you know, it's not a lot of glory. It's a lot of grinding. You need to have a lot of grit and determination. And I think that's what, you know, we appreciate as football players going to hockey games and seeing these guys. You know, every shift matters, every second matters, and the smallest little, you know, mishap or mistake can cost you a goal. And it's crazy. The margin for error is like razor thin, and we can definitely relate to that as football players.
Which position would you play, Greg? And then I want the same answer from Dan.
I would be like the emergency goalie, you know, that like stays in the city. And they call like, hey, like, you might be up tonight. I have no business being on the ice.
Come on, you got to pick one. You got to, like, which position would you love to play?
I love Matt Martin. I love his game. So I guess, yeah, I'd try and be, you know, like emulate myself after him because he's a bigger physical guy. And I'm never going to be like, you know, Barzal, who's just unbelievable in those tight spaces and so shifty. And I'd have to go with, you know, like a forward, like Matt Martin.
Danny?
Yeah, I'd probably say forward or goalie because obviously who wouldn't love, you know, scoring, but it's also like, I feel like goalie would be like the closest thing to an offensive line where we could kind of correlate, like, hey, don't let anything pass you. Like, keep everything on you type deal. Realistically, if I had to like play hockey, like it might be there, but I don't know if I'm flexible enough. Like in my corner, I see these dudes doing the splits. And I'm like, there's no way I can do that.
We'll leave the hockey to the hockey players. We'll stay in the stands. We'll room on.
We can dream.
I love the way both of you guys stay away from anything defensive orientated, like that rivalry between the opposite sides. Have you skated, either one of you?
I have, like, I rollerbladed as a kid, and then you start playing football, and it's basically like, don't do anything that's going to hurt you. So maybe when I retire, I'll tie some skates on. But right now, I'm staying on, you know, solid ground.
Feeney?
Yeah, I skated a little bit as a kid, but obviously it didn't stick, so.
That is a beautiful mullet, man. It is. Give me a little side view there of that thing. Like, we're talking another day to reference, Billy Ray Cyrus and his prime. You could give him a run right now. The shirts, you kind of stole the show there a little bit the other night with chugging the beer. And did you smash the beer can, or what happened with the beer can?
Yeah, drank it, smashed it, and then, you know, just got excited, just went all out. Like, you know, blood was flowing. Like, Islanders are playing awesome. I mean, I got excited, kind of lost control, and obviously the people loved it, and it's kind of my staple now, I guess.
The best part about that was, probably like, we did the first round, people loved it. You know, it was a meme, a GIF, all this stuff. Second round, we're at the game, he does it. And then in the third period, they show Clark Gillies, and he chugs his beer, and he smashes it on his head, and the place went crazy. Thought the roof was going to blow up. It was awesome. And I go to Phoenix, okay, that guy's in the rafters, bro.
Yeah. I'm over there, like, looking, like, where's this in the reference? He's hanging up there. And I was like, it was awesome, man. It was such a cool moment.
Tell me about the practice of smashing a beer can on your head. I'm trying to phrase this delicately, but is that just a one-off, or is there some strategy to doing that? Because it looks like if it goes wrong, it goes wrong.
Yeah, I mean, college was fun. Years of practice there for sure. A little bit of an art form, I guess.
The t-shirts. So we've got a great cause going here. Tell me about the t-shirts, and just walk me through the route and how you've got partnered with the Islanders.
Yeah, it was actually, you know, kind of cool. Obviously, went there, you know, brought awesome energy for the guys, and, you know, they stacked a couple wins, and then their PR people reached out to our person, Jared, and then he reached out to me, and they're like, hey, they're trying to make a shirt, and it's like a cutout of a mullet, and I'm like, oh yeah, kind of looks a little bit like me. So Jared was like, yeah, we, you know, let's work something out here. And I'm like, well, let's do it, and let's do it for charity. So my sister actually works for the National MS Society, so I paired that as the charity to fund all the proceeds too. So it was just a good way to kind of connect everything and, you know, obviously give back to the community, because, you know, why not?
Do you know how we can get a hold of these t-shirts? NHL.com or New York Islanders, or what the route is?
The Isles.
Yeah, the Isles. The Isles have the rights to it since they made it. So it's on there. And I mean, like we said, the proceeds all go to charity, and it's for a good cause.
You guys can continue to go to the games?
Absolutely. Yeah, we're going to one this week.
Yeah?
Can't wait.
We already got it planned.
Now, who does all the planning?
This guy. This guy does.
So I do the initial, you know, I send out the text to, like, the guys that have come to games, guys that have said they wanted to come. And I'm like, hey, you know, game's coming up this day. Going to try and get a group together. Usually it's before days off or something like that, so it doesn't jeopardize practice the next day. And, you know, we just keep getting more and more people saying yes. And I always think, like, the Islanders are going to say, no, this is too many people. But we keep giving them lists, and they're like, yeah, no problem. And I'm like, all right, so we're going. So, yeah, it's been great. It's been a lot of fun.
Greg goes into full dad mode. when the Islanders are coming to town, GBR goes into full dad mode, and he's like, who's coming in the car? Let's go. I want everybody's name. It's awesome. It's so cool.
Who wants sandwiches? Who's bringing their wife? Make sure you know there's going to be traffic. It's New York. You got to give yourself time. You have to, you know, all this stuff. So I'm the logistics guy.
You are a full veteran at this thing.
Yeah. Not my first rodeo.
No. So a prediction? Can you give me a prediction, G?
Hopefully, you know, Isles in five at this point, and, you know, go to the Stanley Cup, which would be amazing. First time in my life that they would have been there. So, you know, I'm rooting for that.
Will they put a t-shirt of you out there?
I don't really care. I'm not in it for t-shirts. I just want to watch the Isles win.
Tell me about the mullet and what, where that came from, because, there has to be some kind of motivation for it.
So It actually started last year in the pandemic, obviously, a bunch of craziness was going on. And I was stuck at the house, couldn't get a haircut. And my hair got crazy long. And I went to get a haircut and I was there. I was like, man, I should cut a mullet in there. It'd be kind of fun. So I come home with a mullet and my girlfriend's like, what the hell is going on here? And I'm like, yeah, you know, it's something fun to do. And then it just kind of stuck and kind of a part of me now.
You know, like mullets are a part of hockey.
Oh, yeah, 100%. My little cousins, he had a mullet for about 2 years. And this kid, I mean, he's knee high to a grasshopper. And he had like one of the best mullets I think I've ever seen. So I guess he was a little bit of a motivation too.
Can you guys do me a favor? Back to that, to walking through the parking lot at NASA. Can you get somebody to take a picture of you guys just rolling like you guys roll and
post it? Style.
Yeah, I need to see that. I don't care who's who, but I need to see you guys just walking through it and owning. Like, it's great that the Coliseum's still going. You might be able to see one of the last games going.
Yeah. Should we get some pyrotechnics like from behind us too, like an explosion or something? I'll wear sunglasses, like. Hold on.
If there's two dudes that can do it and dad will approve, it's you guys.
These fireworks are illegal in New York.
Yeah, exactly.
Might know a guy.
You guys are awesome. Great ambassadors for the game. We can't tell you how much it's how cool it is to see guys get involved in the game and you guys from different parts, Chicago, Long Island, and getting others infatuated with the game. Really appreciate it and enjoy this ride. It's cool to see two different sports come together like this.
For sure. Yeah. We're definitely excited about it. And we can't wait to see, you know, how it ends up.
Can you guys actually separate now?
Yeah.
There we go. I thought we were stuck for a second.
Thanks, boys.
Yeah, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Jets and Isles doing their thing. I love it. And if the Islanders make it to the Stanley Cup final against the Golden Knights, those two better be coming out here and have some fun as they get ready for the National Football League season. Maybe a couple of days break would be cool. Tickets might not be able to get the whole team into T-Mobile Arena, though. Hard to come by right now with the Stanley Cup playoffs in full swing in the desert. 117 this week. And the ice at T-Mobile, it's awesome. The Rangers, by the way, completed the transition that has seen Chris Drury take over. His first hire as coach is Gerard Glant, a world championship gold medal to a multi-year contract there. So as Drury runs things where John Davidson oversaw the Rangers, we keep track of our buddy JD, who's back in Columbus. And it was a quick turnaround from the New York Rangers and just looked at things and found a home in Columbus before and loved the feel of it and went back there. We talk about that. And we know that Rangers crest is forever going to be part of him, but the Columbus Blue Jackets have something going on there. They have hired Brad Larsen as their new head coach to take over from John Tortorella. And I mention that not because it's breaking news, but when I recorded the interview with John Davidson, it was the day before that announcement came out, and I didn't know it was going to come out the next day, or else I would have asked him. So we do talk about the process of hiring a head coach and what he looks for and how he's been through it before. So just want you to get to know that and give you a little bit of a heads up on that side of it. No topic off limits, not the head coach, not Seth Jones, not what happened in New York, and certainly not the challenges of what lies ahead for the Columbus Blue Jackets. I hope you enjoy this because a lot of fun. And if you hear thunder in the background, there was a storm rolling through as we record this with John Davidson on The Chirp. So how are you? Where's your head? Where's your heart? How you doing?
I on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm 10 at least. It's great. I had a wonderful time in New York with the Rangers. It was two strange seasons because of the pandemic, of course. Nothing was normal. I thought we did a job that we were asked to do, and I think the team here is going to be a good team. It's going to be a very, very good team. They have some real talent now with the club, and they've got some really good young talent on its way. I see where Braden Schneider, the defenseman that plays in Boston, in Brandon, was named the Western Junior League Defenseman of the Year. So there's people like that coming. They have another defenseman, Nils Lundqvist. He was the Swedish defenseman of the year. Yeah, he can really run a power play. So there's a lot of good things happening with the Rangers. I wish them well. I had a great time. And when the owner decided to make a change with Jeff Gorton and myself, that's absolutely his right. And on I go.
I can't believe how at peace you seem to be with it.
Well, I'm older, for one. I've been around the league now, I think it's 48 years, as a player, broadcaster, a member of management. And to be perfectly honest with you, the opportunities that came my way immediately after I left the Rangers was flattering, to be honest. I mean, it just was. I could have retired, but then come September, I wouldn't be a very happy individual. The idea of television certainly piqued my interest, and there's changes being made there, so that would have been really good. And then there was a group of teams that had made inquiries, including Columbus. But I know Columbus. I know the ownership. It's a fantastic group led by the McConnell family. It's a great facility, great practice facility. It's a really good city to live in. The quality of life there is perfect. And then I have a daughter and her family in Canton, Michigan. It's about a 2-hour, 15-minute drive. They have two little boys underneath the age of 5. And then on the other side in St. Louis, and that's about a 6-hour drive, my daughter there and her husband have 3 little boys under the age of 5. So we're going to be able to see the grandkids. And there's 5 boys, and they're a blast, except for when they leave the house, they got to call the guy to fix everything and paint everything. The handyman really gets busy. But along with that, it's management people I know, with Jarmo Kekäläinen, Basil McRae, Josh Flynn, et cetera, Chris Clark. So it's almost like falling off a horse, but getting back on, and you kind of know what to do. It all pointed there, and so I jumped at it. They called me, I jumped at it, and I'm back in Columbus. We got a big job to do. It's gonna be a hard drive, hard ride, but we're up to it. Should be good.
Before we leave this subject, most of the changes that you've made over the course of your career, outside of being a player, have been of your own doing. This was not. Did you really find out who your close confidants were? And I'm sure a bunch of people reached out to you, but boy, when you go through something like this, you hear from people and different ways, different methods. Did you do that?
I got and received so many texts, so many calls that took a long time to return them all. And every single one was returned. Some people kind of know it because they've been through it themselves. So they may not call for the first week, but then they call. And then they call again and again to make sure everything's okay.
Yeah.
And with me, everything's okay. Jeff Gorton, our general manager in New York, he's out of work now. He has time left on his contract. He'll be a good general manager in this league somewhere else. So it's different for him. He's much, much younger than I am. I could have just retired and gone away. But I really respect our game. I respect the people in the game. You always try to help people. I've had some broadcasters call me in the last few months that are getting new into it and are on the air now, just asking about certain things about doing the job as a broadcaster. I learned the majority of my stuff from Pete Silverman in New York with MSG. He's retired. And John Shannon up in Canada. John Shannon is a great teacher when it comes to broadcasting, a great teacher. So I tried to pass it on, and that's what you do. Others call wondering if, they call wondering about what a direction they should take. What direction? Should I go to this and think about doing this? Should I do this? All you can do is try to help them through your own years of experience. I love doing that because people help me. And if shame on you if you can't find the time to help people under the umbrella of hockey at any level, especially after I was given every opportunity in the world and helped by many, 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 many people over the years.
Were you close at all to television? Because I was kind of personally rooting for that a little bit because you're such a talent in that regard.
Well, yeah, I appreciate that, but been a long time since I've done it. It's probably 18 years since I've done it, but I did get some real interesting discussions. I have a guy that represents me. His name is Sandy Montag. He's quite big in that end of the business with the broadcasters. I don't even know half of them that he has because he keeps it private. He doesn't tell me his business. But you know, we had lengthy discussions about it. I could have left New York, maybe moved to St. Naples, Florida, and then traveled from there to do the events for whomever I was going to work for. But I just, there was something about Columbus. And, you know, you get out that ledger sheet and you get the pros and the cons. The pros really outweighed the cons. And all those arrows pointed to Columbus, even though it's going to be a hard job. We got a tough job ahead of us there. But I enjoy the place. I enjoy the city. I enjoy the ownership. There's something about Columbus, Ohio that has really stuck with our family. And it just seemed like that was the right thing to do.
I want to spend some time on that. But Gretz is going to go to do some studio work. And that's, I mean, you've done both. You've done everything. Hot Stoves, speaking of John Shannon, and those kinds of productions. And I've heard a lot of talk about, can Wayne be outgoing enough? And I keep going back to, it's your cast with Wayne. Not just about Wayne, and you've lived all of that. So just maybe a comment on what's going to face Wayne and how important that cast is going to be.
Yeah, I wasn't a guy that got on. Like, I would never get on the air when I did the Hot Stove Across Canada on Saturday nights and say, I think that this guy should be the coach in Boston or this guy should be the coach in Calgary. I would never do that until the coach in Calgary or Boston was no longer there and there was a vacancy. That's just how I worked. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to be completely outspoken. Wayne Gretzky is Wayne Gretzky.
Right.
In fact, I just talked to him 2 or 3 days ago on getting some information on some people for our club regarding coaching. He's a wealth of knowledge. He's got stories. And like everybody else, we all exaggerate, so to see a little bit, but that's fun to listen to. I call it the BS factor.
Yeah.
I think he's fun to listen to, you know, and he knows Charles Barkley very well. And Charles is terrific on the air. And, you know, Wayne will get comfortable. He'll say what he really believes, but he can say it in the right fashion, the right way. And if you listen to what he says, because it'll sometimes not necessarily have a hidden meaning, but there'll be a meaning that you got to pay attention to get out of what he's saying. I think he'll do a wonderful job.
Yeah. And just have as long as he's comfortable, that's the main thing.
Yeah. And I think he's thought his way through this whole thing. I mean, when you get a little bit older and you're trying to figure out what you're going to do, and I think Wayne sits there and he's had many offers, I'm sure, throughout his life of what to do. He's always carried himself well. He's never really been one to make the world mad at him by any means. He's smarter than that. Yet he's honest at what he does. So I think he'll do well. I think it'll be fun to listen to him. He's going to find television isn't as easy as what everybody thinks it is. There's a lot of hurry up and wait. And, you know, you get there 2 hours before you even do anything, but you got to do your homework. You got to be prepared. I would think that if Wayne wanted to phone somebody, playing for Las Vegas for the Knights, I think they'd take his call. So I think that he'll do well.
Do you still talk to John Shannon? I talk to him three times a week. He's a mentor of mine. Do you still guys keep in touch?
Without question. I am where I am because of that guy. I remember when I retired, I did 1 year of television and I was 28 or 29 years of age when I retired because of injuries. I did 1 year of television in New York with the Rangers. And then I was invited to go up to Canada. Don Wallace and Hockey Night in Canada, Ralph Mellenby, the whole crew. And I moved back to Calgary where I grew up and played my junior hockey and our family was there. And I was to do Flames and Oiler games. And John Shannon was the producer, first time I met him. We met at a golf course out towards Banff and we've been friends ever since. He gave me some tough love at first. We'd go on, not live, but we'd tape some openings and things before the games. And I'm telling you, some of them were 30 takes. I wanted to kill him, but he did the right thing and I got better at it instead of being a nervous wreck. And he's one of those guys that some people might get mad at him. And for me, I can't agree with that. If you want to get better, listen to him, because if you listen to him, you're going to get better if you work at it. And I thank him for many, many things in my life.
Kananaskis golf course, or where which?
Yeah, it was one of the Kananaskis courses. It was Lorette or Kidd. I can't remember which, but it was at Kananaskis. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Beautiful. Both courses are unbelievable. Yeah. And they, thank goodness they decided to put them back up. So Columbus, PR or hockey, what do you have to focus on more?
Well, hockey brings good PR if you do it right. But at the same time, Columbus is, you know, it's one of the fastest growing cities in the country right now. It's just booming. It's trying to buy a house there. I mean, a house pops up online and it's for sale and there's seven offers within 24 hours. It's goofy, but it just, when you look at the city itself, cities usually for me are the people, and the people are great. The ownership's great. I've mentioned that. The education process for public schools and stuff is out of this world. Then of course there's the universities in the area, including Ohio State. There's a lot of very important business that is and companies there, and they're quiet. They're not, that's not loud money. It's quiet money. They're very supportive of the Blue Jackets. Obviously, Ohio State football is they take the ratings and the headlines, and that's been going on for 100 years. But the Blue Jackets have done well. I just think that my job is to help management, our team that will report to me, Jarmo Kekäläinen and the group. We want to build a team the right way and not get ahead of ourselves so you can last, so you can have your window open at the appropriate time and have it open for a while. We've obviously got some bumps in the road and have had bumps on the road, but it's my job to tell the hockey world that we're going to be good. We've got a good city. It's a great place to play, et cetera.
Did you always have sort of maybe out of the corner of your eye, a little bit of a glance at Columbus, even when you were in New York the last couple of years?
Well, I would say, yes, I watched them. If I was at home and we weren't playing, I would watch Columbus Blue Jacket games because it was part of what I had done for 8 years. And you put your heart and soul into it when you go to a place. You just don't go there and say, you know, okay, here I am, and have jacket change patch type of thing. it was serious. I loved my time in St. Louis prior to that. I loved the Blues. When they won the cup, I was happy. We were, our group were a part of bringing 10 of the 20 players that played in that game 7 in Boston. So you felt like you were part of it somewhat. Doug Armstrong did a great job getting it even better. But, you know, we were part of that. We were certainly part of that, drafting Petrangelo and things like that. We sent Petrangelo back to junior twice. Right. I mean, the second time he wanted to kill us. But I was so proud of him when he was made captain. They won the cup. He moved to the Knights, as you know. And he's just a terrific man, a terrific hockey player. And so, I watched Columbus, but I was a Ranger. You know, I still got that blood in me because I was here for nearly, it seemed like 30 years. As a player and a broadcaster, and we'll always have an affinity for Rangers, Madison Square Garden, Ranger fans. They're great. They're terrific. But now I'm in Columbus again, and I couldn't be happier.
Your coach, the decision that lies ahead, and I like Torts, and I think he gets a raw deal because the conversations that you have where the cameras aren't rolling are extraordinary, and he's caring and he's engaging. But the outer picture was that he was hard-nosed. Do you have to hire a coach that's more player-friendly just to try and win people back, or do I read to that?
I think with Torts, he's an interesting man. I had known Torts when I was with the Rangers, and he worked with the Rangers. We brought him into Columbus. We needed help, and he provided everything we asked for. Like everybody in any position in the game, shelf life is a shelf life. And coaches will tell you that. There's been very few Barry Trotz of the world who work in one city for seems like ever, forever. And in fact, I talked to Torts last night.
Had a great discussion
with him. Yeah. He's back in New York. He has an acreage about 35 minutes north of where I am in Westchester County. And he's got horses there and built a new barn. It's a beautiful place. And he's just going to love it there unless he gets back into coaching. But we all learned a lot from Torts. And as you move along, you learn what not to do. So with us trying to find a coach, and I've said this, you're trying to find a coach that's going to fit the group that you have and where you're going to and how you're going to try to get there. And then on the other hand, you want to get that coach that's going to fit your players. And the players have to fit him. And it's a union and it has to work. It's not like the old days when the coach would show up and say, yes, that, not communicate with anybody. It was a very different world. So we're going through the search. It's an arduous search. There's a lot of candidates, but we'll find somebody that's going to fit us for what we need, where we are now, and have the understanding of where we're trying to get to.
How many coaches have you hired, been part of hiring?
I don't know. The first one was Mike Kitchen with the Blues, and that didn't last real long, and it was tough. I had never, you know, it was the first time as a person in my position, and Larry Plow and I had to let Mike go, and Mike was mad. We didn't talk for a couple of years, but we see each other now, and it's been a while, but we talk and laugh and giggle, and he was given an opportunity by our group, and Larry Plow was very loyal because he had been there under Joel Quenneville and others, and of course Mike went on to have a great career. Mike, or Todd Richards in Columbus, one of the better people I've met in the game. His son played for us in Hartford this year with the Rangers Farm Club in the
American League. Oh, really?
He played well, yeah. Justin Richards, good, smart player, fast. And Todd was part of the coaching staff when Tampa won, and then part of the coaching staff this year with Nashville. Terrific, terrific, terrific guy. But sometimes you just need to make the change. And we had to. That was early in the season when we had a very hard start, difficult start. Bobrovsky had a very, very difficult start that year in goal. And so it was kind of, that was a tough one, but we had to do what we did. And that's when we brought Torts in.
Do you look at a team's performance through the eyes of players or through the eyes of an executive?
Both. Yeah. Both, because I was a player. So I think as a player, I have the right to do that. I think sometimes people look at a game and sometimes they say, and they can be very bright hockey people, but sometimes they'll say something that you just know isn't quite accurate because they hadn't played. And I'm not saying that people that haven't played shouldn't be in good positions to coach, et cetera. Some are terrific, really are. But sometimes they just don't quite understand. An example would be, geez, he let in 4 goals on 18 shots. Yeah, but there was 3 2-on-1s and 1 3-on-1, and he was screened on one or whatever it is. You know, there's different things. It's not just the numbers. It's not just the analytics. It's the reality of playing the position, whatever it is. So I think there's both there.
You don't have to worry about playing goal anytime soon. You got a bunch of them there.
Yeah, and a good young one coming. Yeah. My name is Tarasov. Yeah, that's going to be interesting. We got to have interesting things. We got, as everybody knows, the Seth Jones situation, the coach situation, the goalie situation. We got a draft coming up. We have an expansion draft coming up. So it's not boring, I can tell you that.
Did the Seth thing catch you off guard at all?
It caught me off guard that it got out. And, you know, I wasn't there as a Blue Jacket. Then I read about it, heard about it. And for me, there's certain things in this world, and I know that journalists have jobs to do. I get that. I really do. But if you make and have an agreement that you're not going to talk publicly about things or keep it in-house, then it should stay in-house. It's that simple. And that one got out. And as I've said, Seth Jones is an extremely good hockey player. He's a great player. He's even a better person. He really is. And he came to Columbus in that Johansson trade. He played his tail off. He's as an executive or a coach, the hard thing to deal with sometimes is maintenance, whether it's maintenance with a coach, maintenance with a player, that can wear you out. With Seth Jones, there's not 1 ounce of maintenance. That's how good a person he is. So for us, we're hoping that we're going to open our arms and he's going to come back and sign the extension of staying in Columbus. If he doesn't, he has every right in the world to go test the market. And God bless him for that, because that's what the rules are. And we would wholeheartedly respect that. But if that's going to happen, we've got to do something to make sure that we just don't lose Seth Jones and see him leaving town and nothing coming back. That's just not healthy. You can't do it. Obviously, everybody said, well, you let Panarin and Bobrovsky go. That was a different situation. We were a real good hockey club then, and we had a chance, knocked off Tampa Bay, lost to Boston in 6, and that 6th game, it feels like we hit 6 or 7 goalposts that we lost. And then Boston got beat by St. Louis in the last game of the finals, the 7th game. So I feel close. So it was a whole different world at that time.
How much interaction do you try to have with the players as far as maintenance and reading the room, being able to read players?
That's one thing I didn't do well in New York. And the reason is the pandemic. Hmm. When you, the last long period of time, they didn't want you back there. You had to stay in your wing in the office, if you even went to the office, keep the mask on. And then the players, they couldn't even mingle amongst themselves hardly. They had to spread out and do their business. So I feel bad about that because I like to, and it started in St. Louis when, you know, I've been a player rep for a number of years with the union. I've gotten to know people, ex-players who are now coaches and GMs. I've gotten to know them all, the broadcasters in particular. You know, broadcasters outlive anybody in this business. Yes. And that's what I've told people like Jody Shelley. Jody, stay in the broadcast business. You can do it as long as you want to do it and you're good at it.
Yeah.
So I like to get the feel. I like to be around. I like to tell stories with the guys. I want to hear their opinions. I want to get to know their families, get to know their parents. It's important. It's a people business. And if you ever get you can get a feeling sometimes too. If you've been around the game long enough, you could get this gut feeling about this is going on, or this is really good, or we should do more of that, you know, that type of stuff.
How many notes have you taken, do you think, since you've returned to Columbus, writing it? Because your hockey mind, I think, doesn't get enough attention because you're so engaging and you're such a wonderful personality and broadcaster. So give me an idea of how much you've done on the hockey side.
Well, even when I was a broadcaster, I had to write stuff down. I could go in and talk to a coach and a player and another player, walk out of the room and forget what they told me. So I had my yellow legal pad. I was always scratching, you know, one or two words to make me, oh yeah, that's what he said. Boom, 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 boom. And then I'd go back to the hotel room and I'd put everything in longhand out there and then I'd use that pad during games if it was necessary. Lots of stuff. We're even when we have our Zooms or in-person interviews regarding coaches, I like to take notes, because then towards the end of the whole thing, you can go through the notes. Oh yeah, that's what he said. And this is opposite from what this guy said. You know, it's important. You have to pay attention to details. And I like to do that, but I have to help myself to make sure I do it right.
Couple minutes left here before we let you go, because we know that the storm's sounds like it's passed though.
Yeah, I think so. Still dark.
The idea that the draft lottery can turn a franchise around. I love seeing you and Jarmo, by the way, sitting there together. Like, you guys just seem to have a relationship.
Well, we worked together in St. Louis. You know, a true story here. Not many people know it, but I was doing the hot stove on a Saturday night, and it was actually being taped, or maybe it was live, during a game I was doing in New Jersey. And I had heard about somebody working with the Ottawa Senators that ripped junior hockey and would never have his son play junior hockey in Western Canada. Well, I played junior hockey in Western Canada. So I went on the air and I ripped this guy, Jarmo Kekalainen. And I don't rip people often. I never did. And so down the road, I get Jarmo and I talked. And then we ended up working together in St. Louis when he ran the amateur draft for the Blues, and he was very good. And we kind of laugh about it now, but I should have done a little more homework on it. He didn't mean it the way it was written. He was talking about how tough it was. You know, it's so tough out there. I don't know why I want my kid playing there. Where I took it the other way, saying, yeah, I would never let my kid play in that barbaric league type of thing. So that was one of our first meetings. And we laugh about it. He works hard. He's got a real eye for talent. He was a heck of a scout and did a great job running amateur scouting for the Blues. With the Blue Jackets, he lets the people that are in charge run the draft. He can interject and help like he should, but he was really good at what he did.
Did you have to mend that fence, or did he reach out to you and say, hey, you're slamming me on the national television?
Yeah, I think he might have called me. I can't remember, but it was mended in a hurry. I mean, it just, well, that's the way I work. I don't hold grudges, and he doesn't either. And we talked, we laughed, probably over a little Vin Rouge, and it worked.
And it usually does. Which daughter was it that posted on social media about you going back to Columbus? Did you?
I have two daughters. I'm not sure. I'm not a social media guy. If I need, I will get things sent to me from people that I need to know, mm-hmm. type of thing. But my two daughters are great.
It was a wonderful post, and I bring it up because it was a wonderful, beautiful post about you and your relationship with Columbus.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not sure. I probably read it. And, you know, again, we'll go back to the fact that it's about, it might've been my youngest daughter because two of her children or her two children were born in Columbus. Hmm. And maybe that's the reason her husband is now the head amateur scout for the Rangers in North America. And he works his tail off. He used to be in Columbus. I brought him over. He's young and he's really good. Hopefully he stays with the Rangers for the rest of his career. That was the effect that Columbus had on my family, whether it's your daughters or the grandkids or the pitchers sitting in your office when the kids are 6 months old and you're holding them. It just, that's what that city can do to people. I met a lot of people in Columbus that left. They wanted to go to San Francisco. They wanted to go to New York. They wanted to go to Chicago, but they all came back. It's one of those things that's really interesting. I just know that you drive the highways and you're not driving through potholes and bumps all day. They're perfect. You know, schools are great for kids. Restaurants are really good. Yeah. The you get in your car and you're 20 minutes pretty much anywhere. So all that stuff adds up. It's got a rush hour like most do, but you're not sitting there in traffic for hours. You're just not. It's just a lot of good things. There's a lot of great cities. I really enjoyed St. Louis too. St. Louis is a terrific, terrific city. Good people there too.
And I bring up that your daughter's post because you know Doug McLean very well, and he can hold a grudge like nobody I've ever witnessed. And he loves Columbus. And Clark and Mackenzie grew up there basically, and they love Columbus with Jill. And just to bring it full circle, it is a wonderful place. And if Doug can get around that, then anybody
can. you gotta love. He's got some sense of humor. He's
His give a crap meter is zero, right? He doesn't give a crap about anything, so he can say anything.
He didn't want to let it go there for a while, though.
No, right?
He just didn't. And then, you know what? See, you're a proud person. I suspect with Doug, the amount of work that he put in to start that franchise, and he was given the keys to do it, and a lot of stuff was really good, really good. And he was well-respected. I still talk to people in Columbus. How's Doug doing? How's Doug doing? And when things happen and you're out, you leave, after the effort you put into it, I can see where it gnaws at you. It's hard. And if there was ever people that you didn't like, didn't want, didn't do, some people hold it. But I think he's in a real good place now, from what I understand when I'm talking to him. Yeah. He still goes home. He loves PEI and loves Florida in the wintertime, and who wouldn't? So he's in a good spot.
He can actually chip it and get it off the ground, which is great, which it's never happened. And he can hit it 204 off the tee. So that's good. Hey, I'm really, really proud of you, but I'm happier for you because you look great, man. Yeah, and you sound great. And not many people can go through what you just went through and be so happy. And you deserve it among more than anybody.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We'll cross paths anytime. Give me a buzz. It's people. You know, this game is about people. Even you can get on the ice and have nasty games like we did when I played against the Islanders or against Philadelphia, the Broad Street Bullies. And down the road, you run into people. You run into Billy Smith. Bobby Nystrom, who was one of the toughest players ever to play. I played junior hockey with him in Calgary. Yeah, we're playing in games against each other where we want to knock each other's heads off. But it's people. People are great in this game. Thank God.
And you are one of the best. Thanks, JD, and all the best. Okay,
thank you. You too.
That's a fun day. I could honestly talk to JD all day because I love listening to JD all day. And that pride that he takes in Columbus, that's real. And the only thing that I can ever compare it to is my family has a place on Prince Edward Island, Canada's East Coast. I have zero connections to Prince Edward Island. None. A Manitoba guy. My wife's from Hamilton. Our kids were Ontario born when we adopted them. Like, we have nothing going on the East Coast of Canada. Went there to visit Doug McLean for a weekend, fell in love with it, and we consider ourselves East Coasters. But hey, PEI people, I know we're from away. We'll always be from away. But that's kind of the same thing that I see with JD and Columbus and that bond there. And it's just, there's something strong about it. And he feels at home there. And I wish the Columbus Blue Jackets, Brad Larson, Jarmo Kekäläinen, and the entire group there. And Doug McLean is a great friend of mine. And I know what an amazing spot that the city of Columbus and the state of Ohio is. So wish them the best of luck. And I love it when people are so proud of places that, I mean, New York City, Columbus, we know there's a difference there, and JD loves it. Talking about being proud of things, the Vegas Golden Knights into the Stanley Cup semifinals, third time in 4 years that the franchise has existed into the Final Four, and you notice things when you go to a game in Vegas. Like the other day, a bride and groom got married at 5 o'clock. They went to the game right after in full like tuxedo and wedding gown. And they made it there in time for warm up. And both of them walking down the aisle to their seats with big, big beers and just sitting down and getting set for warm up. And it was awesome. And I can't help but notice that the groom, like he was about 20 feet in front of the bride and he couldn't wait to get to his seats. And it was just one of those weird things. Is she in a full bride's dress? Yeah, she is. So there's Vegas. That was fun to watch. Rate, subscribe if you like what you're hearing. Some of these stories, it's really cool. And JD on Wayne Gretzky and getting into it in the broadcasting front. I mean, you don't get a more wide-ranging conversation than that. And then how about Greg and Dan with the New York Jets? Wish them the best of luck, and I can't wait to see them back at Nassau Coliseum. So give us a subscribe, a rate, a review, all that stuff. Let us know that you're enjoying this on The Chirp with Darren Millard, and we're working on a couple of other special things as we march towards the presentation of the 2021 Stanley Cup that just may raise the old celebrity factor just a little bit, but always with one eye firmly on the hockey. Thanks for listening to The Chirp with Darren Millard. Don't forget to rate. I'm not letting you off the hook. Rate right now as we say goodbye on The Chirp with Darren Millard.